Well, I'm not a very large group, but my favorite, absolute favorite group so far. So I'm grateful for that. I mean, think about it. Jesus, God's plan was that he would step out of eternity, take on human flesh, submit himself to be tempted in every way like every human ever has been, only if one person had responded. So if God can step out of eternity because just one would be his favorite, then this is a pretty big crowd, you know? So let's have a little fun. I don't think we're ever going to get out of the upper room discourse. I've concluded that we're stuck in a moment in John 14 through 17, maybe till I go see Jesus. Then I'll come back because I'll understand it better and teach some more after I see him. So let me just show you a few things that connect a few dots. If you remember this part, let me read a couple of things, then we'll come back and join some things together. When Jesus said in verse 21 in chapter 14, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." And then he said again in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." In verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So twice Jesus said, if you're in love with me, if you love me, you'll want to keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. And then having said that, towards the end of this chapter, in this part of this conversation, it's as if he now gives them an example of what it looks like to love someone so much that you'd keep their commandments. In verse 28, "You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you'd have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is more amazing than I." The word there is mega than I. "And I know that I've told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. But that the world may know how much I love the Father, and as the Father has given me commandment, even so I do." Do you see that connection? Jesus says twice, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And here then he says, "But I want the whole world to know how much I love the Father by the commandment that I keep." The commandment to do what? To come and give his life for the world. And there's one of the translations says, "And I do exactly as he said." So he says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And then he says, "I want the whole world, by my obedience to the Father, I want the whole world to know, by keeping his commandment, I want the whole world to know how much I love him." Man, what a great example, right? But it's more than just that. Again, Bracken read the scripture in verse 3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come to you and receive you to myself." In verse 18, Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you." In verse 23, he says, "We will come to you, make our abode with you." In verse 28, he says, "You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you." And then towards the end of this little time with them in the upper room in chapter 17, he says in verse 22, let me not read, start reading verse 21, "That they may all be one." Now, here he's not talking about unity among brothers and sisters in Christ, like so many people think this is what it's saying. He's talking about our oneness. That's what the whole thing has been, this whole upper room discourse. He talked about his oneness with the Father, and now his oneness with us, union. "They may be one," verse 21, "even as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you. That they also be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me. And the glory which you've given me," that's the Father's indwelling presence in his humanity, "the glory that you've given me, I have also given to them, that they may be one with me, even as you and I, Father, are one." So that they may be one with me, even as you and I, Father, are one, I in them and you in me. So when Jesus, and then, hear this. This is a fun thing. Let's see if I can find it without spinning to it. Verse 24. Now, regardless of how yours is translated, let me read it to you If you have the New American Standard, I have on the side what the Greek actually says. This is the way it's just written, verse 24. Remember what he said earlier. I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, you'll be also. Father, that which thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they may be with me also, that they may behold my glory in them, which you have given me. For you did love me before the foundation of the world. And so there's this like this sort of these themes in this sort of Bible study Jesus has with them, or teaching he has with them. And over again, he says, I'm going to come to you. And then I love, it starts off in verse 3 by saying, I'm going to come to you and receive you to myself. That's oneness. That's union. And then he talked about, Father, just like I'm in you, and they're in me, and you're in me, and I'm in them. They're going to experience the glory that I've experienced in my humanity. They're going to experience because I'm going to be in them. Again, that where I am, they will be also. So that there will be one. So that we'll be one with Jesus. So Jesus came, he went to the cross, prepare a place for us. What kind of place? A place of oneness with him, of union with him, that we would be one. He even says in chapter 17 that we would be perfected or grow in maturity, completion in that union with him. So if I've been placed into Christ to be one with him, then when Jesus says, two times, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then at the very end of that little part, he says, let me give you an example. I love my Father so much, I'm going to keep his commandments because I want the whole world to know how much I love him. Well, that's the one we're one with. That's the one that we've been grafted into. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so he didn't just say, now, there you go. I'm going to wind you up. Do the best you can to do that. He said, oh, actually, I, the one who love God so much that I want the whole world to know how much I love him by keeping his commandments, I'm going to receive you to me so that you're one with my submissive nature. Because Jesus said this in his humanity, clothed in your humanity and my humanity. And we're now in union with his humanity. Do you see the thing and how it winds together? It's not just that Christ. See, apart from him, we can do nothing. Didn't he say that in the Upper Room Discourse? That's part of this whole narrative. So everything he's saying to them, oh, by the way, apart from me, you can't do any of this stuff, but I'm going to come to you and receive you to myself so that where I am, you're going to be. You're going to be one with me. You're going to be one with my faith. I'm going to give you my peace. Didn't he say that? Not as the world gives. He said, I'm going to give you my joy. So that your joy will be complete. Over and over again, he's talking about our oneness, our union. And then right in the middle of it, John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branch. So he's saying, all these things I'm telling you, I'm not just leaving you on your own. The whole Christian life starts, ends, and all of it in the middle is by grace and grace alone. The free gift of the life of Christ and his righteous life in us. That when I'm telling you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm not going to leave you on your own to do that. I'm going to join you to me so that you're now in union with my submissive heart. You're going to bring every thought captive into my obedience. And what my obedience looks like, what my submissive heart looks like, it's now going to be part of your nature, is that to keep commandments is a joy of love. And you want to do it at such a level that you want the whole world to know how much you love me. It's amazing. The Christian life isn't hard. I'll say this two different ways. The Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible for you to do it on your own. But you've been brought into oneness with Christ, so the Christian life isn't hard. It's ridiculously easy because you've been grafted into Christ. It's only hard if you're determined to do it on your own and live for him. But it's ridiculously easy if you're going to live from him because you've been joined to his nature, his submissive nature, his faith-filled nature. Apart from him, you can do nothing, but in Christ, you can do all things. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together. That was worth the price of admission, I think. Took away all our excuses, though, didn't it? It's kind of like I remember the story when I told you before, like when I was in Uganda in the airport and all that stuff. I got grouchy with the person because they kept wanting to search me. And afterwards, I sat down and told the Lord, I said, Lord, you would never act like that. He said, I didn't, Chuck. That was all you. So if you're sideways today about life, that ain't Jesus. That's all you. But you don't have to live that way because you're one with him.